Good morning, everyone. I hope that your week has been great. Good morning. I see some waves over there. You would think that after living in Northern Virginia since 2016 that I would be accustomed to cold weather, but this southern boy is like, oh no, shy. It's cold. Thank you for being with us. You're online. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. That is where we have been for the last 2 weeks. Turn in your Bible, your Bible app, and we're going to jump right in this morning. But as we do, let's bow together in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the hope that we have in Jesus. Thank you that even in the worst times that we can know what your will is for us. It is to rejoice always, to pray continually, and to give thanks in all circumstances. Father, as we study this last section of this passage, this is the one that can be very challenging for us to grasp. But Father, in a week of thanksgiving, we pray that you will open our eyes. Thank you for the words that have already been shared this morning, and the songs, and communion, and Jacob's welcome. Father, may all that we say, all that we do this morning bring glory to your name. Speak through the words that I've prepared. May your spirit move in this place and use this to lift Jesus high. Thank you for him. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. So we have been studying in this series called The Satisfied Soul, looking at what does true contentment look like. And so here we are, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Paul is ending his letter to this church, and here's what he writes. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So the first week we saw that the satisfied soul always rejoices. Joy isn't dependent upon my circumstances, but rather it's a choice that I make because my focus isn't on the circumstances, it's on Jesus. Last week, we examined the second section that a satisfied soul always prays, and that a life of continual prayer is a life that continually lives in the attitude of being in God's image. And today, we're going to talk about being thankful, that the satisfied soul is always thankful. And so this morning, I thought what would be very most helpful for us to just get into a spirit of thanksgiving and a spirit of thanksgiving mindset would be to invite some of our most honest church members up here this morning to talk about what it means to give thanks. And so, Megan and Savannah and Killian, would you guys come up here? Killian, you want to come? Come on up and have a seat. Yeah, good morning. Pick a chair. Hey, Killian. My man. Thank you. I like your shoes. So, can you tell me what holiday is this week? Who knows what holiday we're celebrating this week?
Thanksgiving.
I'll say it one more time. Say it really loud.
Thanksgiving.
Okay. What do we do on Thanksgiving? I'm holding a microphone like I don't already wear one. What do we celebrate on Thanksgiving, Killian?
Turkeys.
Turkeys. Yeah. Savannah, what's your favorite thing about Thanksgiving?
No.
No. She said no. You don't know? Oh, my goodness. What's your favorite thing to eat? What's your favorite food to eat at Thanksgiving? Do you know?
Pizza.
Say that again.
I want pizza.
That's an Italian Thanksgiving. All right. Megan, what is your favorite thing to eat at Thanksgiving?
Pumpkin pie.
Pumpkin pie. Pumpkin, yeah. Killian, what's your favorite thing Thanksgiving? What's your favorite thing to eat?
Turkeys.
Turkeys. I think Killian's on 2 for 2 with turkeys. What's one thing you're very thankful for?
God.
God, that's a great answer. When you can't say anything else, say God. All right, Megan, what are you thankful for?
My family.
Good job. What are you thankful for, Savannah?
To do it.
She said she don't want to do it. But you're doing so great. No. Okay. Well, let me ask you a question. Is it hard I'm going to stand over here where you can kind of see me. Is it hard to be, say, I'm thankful, to say thank you for something when it's not very good? Let's say green beans. Do you like green beans? You like green beans? Yeah? That wasn't a very good question. How about, you guys don't know what mustard greens are, I'm sure. Is there some food that you don't like? Say that again.
Brussels sprouts.
Yes, and it, Brussels sprouts. Killian, is there a food you don't like?
Mashed potatoes.
He didn't like mashed potatoes. Savannah, do you want to say, is there a food you don't like?
I don't want to.
Okay. Well, she likes pizza. We know that. So is it hard whenever mom and dad say, hey, you have to eat mashed potatoes or you have to eat Brussels sprouts? Is it hard to eat food you don't like? Yeah, why is it so hard?
Thank you.
Say again?
No, thank you.
No, thank you. That's what we say. Good job. Very good. Good job, Mom and Dad. Look, Mom is so proud. Killian, what do you say when you don't like food?
No, thank you.
You guys are so well trained. Megan, what do you say?
No, thank you.
Good job. All the parents in the room, you hear that. You should also say no, thank you. Yeah, it's hard to like stuff, though, but what if they said, you have to eat this? What would you say? It's not very good. No, thank you. That's right. That is so right. Yeah. Is Thanksgiving your favorite holiday? Yeah? No. What's your favorite holiday?
My favorite holiday is Christmas.
You agree with that? That's his way of saying me too. Sign language. Saying me too. Good job. Is Thanksgiving your favorite holiday? Yeah. Why do you like it so much?
Because my mom and dad love me.
That's right. Your mom and dad love you. Thank you guys so much. You are very helpful. So we can be thankful even when things aren't things we like. We can just say no thank you because we're still saying thanks, isn't it? Good job. Let's give them a really big round. All right. Go back to mom and dad. You get to go to Tiny Tots. You can go to Tiny Tots now. Thank you, Megan. Hey, Killian, Miss Erin's in the back if you want to go to Tiny Tots. He said, nope. I'm going to go tell my mom, no, thank you. So I love asking kids questions because, first, they say the most honest answers. I don't want to do this. Pizza. But they also, if somebody were to ask me, Robin, we're going to make you eat Brussels sprouts. My first reaction would be like, ugh. I would not say, no, thank you. That was really well done. And kudos to your parents. So I want to camp out on this phrase, give thanks in all circumstances. And I want to focus on these words. And we're going to just kind of pick this sentence apart. So just track along with me this morning. The first word I want you to look at is the word give. Give thanks. So the word give indicates that it's going to cost you something. It requires being intentional. It requires being deliberate. Sometimes we see people, and from our perspective, they seem to be very thankful, appreciative, grateful people. They're optimistic. They're positive by nature, and that's just who they are. And some of us will go, that's just not me. I'm just the glass is half empty kind of guy. It's very hard for me to get in that way. I can be cynical. I tend to see things on the darker side. And we kind of think we can dismiss gratitude. We can dismiss Thanksgiving as, you're either wired that way or you're not. But what we find in Scripture is that contentment and Thanksgiving is something that we learn. It's something that we're taught. And the more we look at life through the lens of gratitude and thanksgiving, the more natural it becomes for us to see it that way. It's something that we learn. I have four children. And when my oldest son was a baby, we spent hours. Well, he spent hours watching Baby Einstein. We slept through Baby Einstein because I don't know if you know what this is. Baby Einstein was the big hit in the late 90s, early 2000s. It was this thing where they would have these videos and it was classical music that would play and it was toys and it was supposed to make your kids smarter. And I don't know if it worked or not, but anyway, there were these videos. It worked really good at putting the parents to sleep, I will tell you that. And there was one video that was dealing a lot with sign language. And so that was really great. Ethan, our oldest, couldn't really talk at the time, and so we learned the sign for more. More. Well, that comes in really handy for them. Sippy cup, more. Diaper, he wouldn't say more, but, you know, if he wanted something, it was more. Hey, buddy, it's time to wake up. More. Well, that's pretty easy. You find out that for kids, for some reason, that's pretty easy for them to learn. Then we decided that we were going to teach them the sign for thank you. You think, oh, that's simple. But for some reason, that one was so much harder to say thank you. Thank you. More was easy. More. More. Thank you was so much harder. And the one thing I've realized with all four of my kids and babies in general, babies are selfish. And those of you who don't have kids yet, you know, here's the reality. They're selfish because they don't know how to care about your needs. They care about their needs. My diaper is wet. I need you to change it. I'm hungry. Feed me. It's kind of like the plant on Little Shop of Horrors. Feed me, Seymour. And sometimes I think they get that evil, especially in the middle of the night. More, more. But as we grow to adults, we are not as prone. We're not very good with thank you as much as we are with more. More. I want more. And what I found is that we have to be very intentional with being thankful. Because more focuses on what we get, and thank you is something that we give. It's thanksgiving. And even implied in that word is a message that I think we sometimes miss, that thanksgiving isn't thanksgiving until thanks is given. It's something that we give. It's something we're intentional with. So in working on this sermon, I came across some research that pertained to the benefits of giving thanks daily. I thought it was fascinating. I want to share this with you. One Temple University study found that patients with high blood pressure who supplemented, not replaced, but supplemented their regular medical treatment with phone calls to a gratitude hotline where they counted the list of things for which they were thankful, found that they had lower blood pressure than those who had medical treatment alone, medicinal treatment alone. Research has shown that by keeping a gratitude journal, listing all the things that you're thankful for, that it increases the energy and the enthusiasm of individuals, and that we sleep better, and we're significantly less depressed when we keep track of what we're thankful for. The National Institute of Health's researchers examined the blood flow to the brain while subjects were expressing gratitude and thanksgiving, and they found that subjects who showed more gratitude had higher levels of activity in the brain, I'm going to mispronounce this, but the hypothalamus? I'm no doctor. I'm also no mathematician. I'm just going to clarify that real quick. I've made some really terrible math counting up here, apparently, and everyone knows it. I know that I have four kids only. And I know that 4 times 6 is not 36, but 24. Some of you are like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Just think that I'm good at math. They found that those who were giving, they were doing these tests while people were giving, expressing gratitude and thanksgiving. And in the hypothalamus region of the brain, this is the area that controls things like stress and our sleep function and our metabolism. And they found that you can jumpstart your metabolism to start your day with just a spirit of thanksgiving and gratitude. And there's an irony in this. It can burn calories. And so there is something to be said that while this week you are consuming probably more than your fair share, that you can be thankful and burn calories. So there's something to that. There are some psychological benefits of giving thanks. Waiters who sign checks with thank you, studies have shown that they get a bigger tip. Husbands who are told thank you after washing the dishes are more likely to do it again. They're more likely also to do it again if you don't come behind them and go, that was wrong. Just say, good job. What's also interesting about all these studies is that the more that people gave thanks, it's just the more they had a positive outlook on the world. And so we're told, give thanks. The second part of this sentence is what makes it such a difficult verse. We tend to think that our thanks is dependent upon our circumstances, just like our joy. If our circumstances are somehow different, then I can give thanks. And so I'd be thankful if, and that's how much most of us approach Thanksgiving, that I can give thanks in all circumstances is what the verse says. So here's the equation that we typically run off of. Abundance plus comfort equals Thanksgiving. That's the one that we kind of think. If I have enough things and if I'm fairly comfortable, then I can give Thanksgiving. It will produce Thanksgiving. If I have more money, that if I have more love, that if I have more whatever it is, you fill in that blank, plus comfort, then I'll be thankful. And that's the one that we kind of tend to work off of. But for most of us, if we're really honest, abundance is the enemy of gratitude. So the equation actually plays this way. Abundance plus comfort equals discontentment. The more we gain, the less thankful we become because we never gain enough. It's the law of diminishing returns. It's if the equation is abundance plus comfort plus Thanksgiving, then we should be the most thankful nation in the world. A typical person in the United States whose income is in the bottom 5% of the American income distribution is still richer than 68% of the world's inhabitants. Someone in the USA who lives below the poverty line is still richer than more than half of the world's population. 80.9% of households below the poverty level have cell phones. 97.8% have refrigerators. More than 83% have air conditioning. And yet in 2007, only 11% of households in Brazil and 2% in India had AC. In terms of comforts, we have them. There's nothing wrong with those things. We have those comforts. There was a study, another study that was shown, because so much of this affects our brain. That those people who were born after 1945 in America were 10 times more likely to be depressed than those who were born earlier. And that seems so strange because we have so much more abundance. We have phones that do so much things for us. We have comfort. We have Alexa. And yet, relatively speaking, we are not thankful. This research that I read said that you won't find depression and discontentment as we know it. Like, you don't see the suicide rates, the hopelessness, the giving up quite at the levels. Low self-esteem, you don't find that at the levels of those who were born before 1945 than you do for those later. And in fact, some primitive cultures, they show no signs of depression. There's a study of a tribe in New Guinea where there's no evidence of despair whatsoever. So for all their material blessings, they've been left largely discontent. We have. These people have nothing, and yet they seem to be extremely content with where they are. We have become so aware of what we don't have that it's difficult for us to be thankful and appreciative for what we do have. Another way this equation plays out is abundance plus comfort equals entitlement. This one hurts, because when we think about something comes to us and we're like, well, it's about time. I deserve this. Another one is abundance plus comfort equals complaining. That happens in my house, that when there is discontentment and when there is entitlement, it surfaces with just complaining, where we complain about what we don't have. Here's what's interesting, that those who complain the most are the ones who are the most well off. So it turns out that abundance plus comfort doesn't necessarily equal Thanksgiving. In fact, it often leads to discontentment, to entitlement, and complaining. And so what do we do? Well, we have to be intentional to give thanks in all circumstances. Because in every situation, we learn to look at life through the lens of gratitude and thanksgiving. That's what Paul is talking about. This was an important thing for the Jews. You read through so much of their act of giving thanks. In Nehemiah, they assigned ministers who their single task was to give thanks. Nehemiah 11:17 says that we find that there was a director who was in charge to lead in thanksgiving. In chapter 12, there was a group of men who were in charge of the songs of thanksgiving. In the same chapter, we also find that choirs who were solely focused on giving thanksgiving. King Hezekiah, he assigned priests and Levites to different tasks, and one of those tasks was simply to give thanks. In fact, for much of church history, we talk about the Lord's Supper. Most of the church history for the first century on, the word that they would use is the word Eucharist. And we go, oh, that sounds very Catholic. But hold on. It comes from the word Eucharisto, which means thanksgiving. When we, I love the way that Justin did communion this morning, because communion is a way of saying thanks. It's a way of remembering. You're studying through Deuteronomy right now. There's a lot of remember. Remember, it's also as a way to give thanks to God for what he has done. So how do we be thankful? Well, the Bible talks about a few ways. The first is singing. In Psalm 147, it says, sing to the Lord, sing out your thanks to the Lord. When we sing, there's this beautiful thing when we say, hey, I can just be thankful to God. We read Psalms where they would just randomly break off into song. I grew up in a family that watched musicals. Well, my mom did. My dad was like, no, until later in life. We watched musicals all the time. And one thing that was very interesting to me was all of a sudden they'd be walking down the street and they would just break out, the hills are alive. I'm like, who does that? But if you read through the Old Testament, you see that singing was a natural form of reflecting to God thanks. Another way that we can give thanks, the Bible says, is through serving. Hebrews 12 says that let us please God by serving him with thankful hearts. When we serve selflessly, now there are people that serve because it makes them feel good, it makes them look good, but when we serve selflessly, we find that we are giving thanks to God. And I'm not doing this for what I can get, I'm giving this in an act of service. That's why Jesus said it was more blessed to give than to receive, which brings me to the other way, is giving. Psalm 50, sacrifice, thanks, offerings to God. When we give, it's a way of saying thank you. I don't know the final count on this generosity box because there's cash we haven't counted, but I can tell you right now that we are not very far away from our goal of $5,000. And it's a way, people like it because it's a visual representation of doing something, but it is a way, when we put a dollar in a box, maybe that's all you have. The widow that Jesus watches and she drops her two copper coins in the box, she has given all that she has. She is giving thanks to God and trusting in his provision to take care of her. Giving is something that we can do that says we're thankful. And then there's, in this sentence, in this verse, the last word is the little word in, I-N. Give thanks in all circumstances. And this is probably what makes the difference in interpreting not only God's will, but also interpreting this sentence well. That little two-letter word is what allows Christians to be thankful no matter the circumstances or situations. But for most of us, when we talk about being thankful, we typically use a different preposition. We don't use the word be thankful, give thanks in all circumstances. We say give thanks for all circumstances, because that's how we view that's what's supposed to happen. The problem is that's a little bit, it's wrong, but it's also kind of sadistic. I mean, there are things that I can be thankful in problems, but it doesn't mean I'm thankful for the problem. Like, I wouldn't say I'm thankful for cancer, but I can be thankful in the process of dealing with cancer. Our sister, Naida Harrington, was hit by a car. I'm pretty sure she's not thankful that she got hit by a car. But she can be thankful in that circumstance because it could have been much worse. And God took care of her. And people have wrapped their arms around her. And her husband's amazing. Like, they can be thankful in circumstances. It doesn't mean I'm thankful for circumstances. God doesn't want you to he doesn't want you to thank him for divorce. He doesn't want you to thank him for cancer. He doesn't want you to thank for these terrible things, but he wants to put an end to that. We read about that at the end of time, that one day there will be no more death, no more dying. He will wipe every tear from their eye. God doesn't want that. That is a result of a fallen world. What God does want you to do is say, I don't want you to thank me for those things, but I want you to be thankful in them. Here are some ways that we can be thankful in all things. The first thing is, I can be thankful in all things because he has a greater purpose than I can see. God has a greater purpose than I could possibly see in this current situation. And because of that, he knows what I don't. And he understands, he knows what I don't know, and he understands what I can't know. See, our perspective is so limited, but his is eternal. Here we're told to give thanks in all things. This sounds like Romans chapter 8, where he says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Notice, it doesn't say that we know for all things. In all things, God can still work. That helps us with this. We give thanks in all things because in all things God works for the good. We can have a confidence and a trust in a situation that seems to have no redeeming value, so God can put the pieces together, that he can bring good from it, that his purpose can still be accomplished. Another way that we can give thanks is because he can work in me so that I can grow. In all things, God can make me more like Jesus. This is consistent with Scripture. Where we can be grateful for certain challenges, because in those challenges, my faith has matured and our relationship with God has deepened, and we come out of the other side looking a lot more like Jesus. Another reason that I can be thankful in all things is because he's going to give me the power so that I can overcome. No matter what you or I are going through, I don't go through that alone. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Some of you know this all too well, about a peace that passes understanding. You've gone through something terrible, and you would never want to go through that again. And you would never be thankful for it, but you've learned to be thankful in it because you're thankful for God's power and strength and his presence, that he's given you what you needed. When our son Liam was in the hospital, and I didn't tell him I was telling this story. He doesn't like when I say his name, but I just said your name. Hey, I'm telling this story. Sorry. When Liam was in the hospital, he had a terrible staph infection all throughout his body. His blood was, he was very, and MRSA, he was very infected. They couldn't find why the antibiotics weren't working. He was blowing every IV and all these things. I mean, it was just heavy. He was 7, I think, at the time. And he kept losing weight because he couldn't eat because his tongue was swollen and inflamed. It was a mess. They eventually did a MRI. And during the MRI, they found out that he had a aneurysm. Aneurysm? Abscess. Aneurysm is not the word. That's a worse thing. He had an abscess underneath his sternum. And so they had to do surgery to remove that abscess or to drain it. Now, surgery on your children is scary. I don't care if it's something minor or major. It's scary. When they wheeled that little dude away, oh my word, I thought that was the hardest thing I was ever going to go through. We're in the ICU the next morning. It's Sunday morning, and we're both sitting there. It's quiet except for the sounds of beeps. And he's asleep in the bed, which was a big thing to have happen. Morphine is keeping him pain-free. And Mary and I are sitting there very quietly in the early morning hours. It's dark. And a hospital chaplain comes in. And she's talking to us, and she just asks about our kids. And we're talking about our other kids and our church family. And we just said, she said, well, where are they? Well, we have people in our church who have come in, and they have helped us with our kids. They have watched them. They have stayed with them. They took them trick-or-treating because we couldn't. And this morning, they're bringing our kids to church. They've jumped in and cleaned our house. They've come and mowed our grass. They've provided meals. And I remember the chaplain so vividly saying these words. And it's for the first time in my life, growing up as a Christian, I was a minister. It was the first time in my life it actually hit home. And she said, so you have experienced the visible body of Christ. And I thought, yeah. And I've seen that happen in this church family so many times. Something happens and we jump in there. We say, hey, this is a terrible situation that they're going through, but because of the situation that's happening, God has given us grace that we can overcome. And sometimes that comes through the brothers and sisters in this congregation or other congregations or places you haven't talked to for years who will call you and encourage you. The last thing. We can be thankful in all circumstances because God has given his one and only son. Look, here it is. God doesn't owe you anything. God doesn't owe me or you anything. And we can be very, very demanding and sit in our high chair of life and go more, more, more. And God doesn't owe you any of that. We can throw a fit, but God owes us nothing. And we can go through life with a sense of entitlement where every good thing that we get isn't good enough because we think we deserve a little bit more. And if all God ever did was send Jesus, that was enough. We can be eternally grateful. We can say thank you that he would give his only son to die for us so that in any circumstance, in any situation, if we put our trust in Jesus, we have hope. We have a promise that we are never alone and that this is not the end. That no matter what I go through in this life and all the things that I can be thankful for the promise of eternal life in Jesus Christ. So that that's where I want to put my hope. That's where I want to hitch my horse. I'm not locked into what I see in the news or what's happening in my bank account. I have hope. That doesn't take away those present realities. But as I said last week, or it was 2 weeks ago, that those realities are nothing when compared to the glorious eternity that we will spend with God. That's why the New Testament, when these disciples and the church was under so much persecution, the promise was that there is hope, and they would always say, fix your eyes on Jesus. Focus on Jesus. Paul would say, forgetting what's behind and straining towards what ahead, I press on. Because that's where true hope is. There's nothing else that can satisfy your soul like Jesus. Today on the back of your bulletin, there's a blank space. I'm sure everybody got a bulletin when they walked in, and there's a pen in some of those pockets. I want to give you some time to write down some things that you are thankful for. I'm going to help the metabolism flow before you eat some of Ed's bread this morning. We're going to just take just a few seconds, 30 seconds maybe. Write down something that you're thankful for. And not just, I'm thankful for my car or my job. Those are wonderful things. What are you thankful to God for? What are you returning that thanks to him? What is that? Give thanks for the blessings that you have. In fact, if there's a time when you're really stressed out or you're really feeling down, I encourage you to write your blessings. Just start writing all the good things. So just take a few seconds and write down some things that you're thankful for. Or you can do it on your phone. And maybe it's a situation that God brought you through. When everything seemed hopeless, he was constant. Father, thank you that you reveal your will to us in these things, that we are always joyful, that we continually pray, and we give thanks in all circumstances. God, we know that the hurts of this world, the pains that we deal with, sometimes from our choices, sometimes from the choices of others, and sometimes just because we live in a fallen world, you don't celebrate in those things. That's not what you want for us. That every good gift from above comes from you. But Father, you hurt with us, and you are present with us in those circumstances. Father, thank you that you are present. Thank you that we are never alone, and we never walk alone. Thank you that you have brought us through situations and you have blessed us. As we gather with family this week, Father, may you remind us of the tremendous thanks that we have to give to you because of your son Jesus. And it's not something that we hold to ourselves. Help us to be thankful enough that we give it away to others as well. Pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So this morning as we end, our prayer team will be in the corners in the back, and our elders will be near the front. And I want to encourage you. We're going to sing two songs together that are meant to focus our hearts on all the things that we have to be thankful for. And if you want to pray with someone, you want to express your thanks to God in prayer, or you want to talk about following Jesus, then we'd love to pray with you as we sing these songs. So let's stand together and let's sing.